Hello.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on shallow topics from the late 90s and 2000s. I am one of your hosts, Emily Bajin.
And I am your other host, Margot Poupard.
Well, it's time for one of our Old Millennials mini episodes today. And what better thing to talk about than the show that we watched so you don't have to, The Hills, New Beginnings.
I mean, I got to stop you right there, though. There are actually like, and I think we both received several messages.
Yes.
But there are several things that we could talk about that are better than the show.
But this is very true.
But unfortunately, you and I are a stickler for a schedule. So unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about probably the least pop culture relevant thing happening, except unless if you count Seth Rogen tweeting about it exactly two times, because I don't know if you caught that little like teaser trailer leading in from a commercial break back into The Hills. They're like, watch Seth Rogen's favorite show. And then they just had Seth Rogen's tweet that said something to the effect of like, Brody Jenner's always like taking a shower and a bath on The Hills. And then they had his tweet over Brody taking a shower. And then they had some other voiceover. And then they had like, they cut to Brandon Lee like looking shocked, and there was like another tweet from Seth Rogen saying something to the effect of like, I live for Spencer Pratt and his pot pies, which, you know, like same. And they're like, watch Seth Rogen's favorite show, The Hills. I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't, did Seth Rogen consent to this? Like, I don't know.
No, he did not. He did not. But I guess Twitter is public domain, so they can do whatever they want with people's tweets. I bet you Seth Rogen, much like us, watched, you know, a handful of episodes here and there, and after smoking a little bit, felt like the need to comment about it on Twitter, much like we're doing today on this here podcast.
I mean, I gotta say, I think we did ourselves a disservice, like, not in the traditional sense of like, oh, I really like fucked myself over. More like we hurt ourselves emotionally by waiting 5 episodes deep to binge watch it all. Like, I don't know why we thought that was a good idea. I think we said 3, and then we had like scheduling, different schedules going on. And then by the time we knew it, I remember telling you somewhere, I was like, I regret to inform you that we now have 5 episodes.
5 episodes.
On
and
my
then today. The kicker being last night aired a 6th episode.
Right. Yeah. I did not need to power through literally 6 hours of The Hills, New Beginnings in less than 24 hours. Like if you add up all the I mean, we just watched it. It's too much. Especially
too
by
much.
The end of that San Diego trip. I'm like, get me the fuck out of here.
Nope. It's like Dante's Inferno of reality television. Just like each circle of hell is an episode of this show. And it involves weird outfits, women who don't know how to pop bottles of champagne. Like that is a requirement on this franchise. Why can't a woman competently open a bottle of champagne on this show?
Just like people on The Bachelor can't say family, they say family.
Family.
No one can open champagne on The Hills. But I will also say that it did get better once we got to episode 5. Like, I thought the last 2 episodes were a huge improvement over the fucking slog
ripped
out. And honestly, you know, Heidi and Spencer understand the assignment. And so, especially in those first few episodes getting started, they were the only people I fucking cared about just because they're literally insane. I will give it to Seth Rogen. Watching Spencer eat a pot pie in bed while Heidi's walking around in lingerie talking about how she wants to get pregnant is hilarious. Like that is, I don't know, it's cinema.
It's cinema. I appreciate that not only do they offer great quotes throughout the show, but they kind of give you a play-by-play, but their version of what's happening in front of them. Like a Greek chorus of a shit show. Like it's just
or
perfection.
If the Greek chorus was also delusional, you know, something like that. And I will also give shouts to Whitney, who knows her place and is like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm actually a friend of and not a full-time cast member.
She learned very quickly. We think she's beautiful. We appreciate her normal life with whatever her husband – was he Sonny, I think, is her husband's name. So on,
or
whatever.
I thought that was her kid's name.
That's her kid's name. Her Timmy. Okay.
Timmy,
her husband. Sonny, her son. You know, but she's understood the assignment. For her, this is her role It works really well. She shows up a handful of times for a lunch here, a cocktail there. And I kind of love that life for her. She just goes back to, you know, Whitney Eve and her businesses and her Instagram stuff.
I don't think she has Whitney Eve anymore, Emily. I think she's a content strategist for something. I forget what brand. It's some startup or whatever. But yeah, thank you for reminding me that Audrina and Whitney had a fairly boring lunch. And the most interesting part about it was that it was a place that my mom tricked me into going to that is gluten-free and vegan. And that's not what you want to eat when you are hungover.
No. So for you, I think we've got to address the 40-year-old celeb spawn elephant in the room, and that is Rod Stewart's son, Sean Stewart.
At first, I was like, Brody's not 40. I was like, oh, much darker. Because like the second that Audrina's like, I think we'd be better off as friends, and he's like, fuck you, you're a bitch, and walks away or whatever. Oh, he doesn't say that. But when he acts like very upset and hurt that she, you know, would deign to not want to be in a super serious relationship with him, the second that he left, I mean, out of sight, out of mind, baby. Because
never again.
Because before we even had watched all, you know, the first four episodes, regrettably, and the best part about it was actually getting to watch it together in person. So that was great.
Yes.
But before we even watched all of that, when we were with our bachelor group of friends, one of them made us watch Sean and Audrina kiss, just that part. And I just remember as soon as we saw that, I was like, if this is the whole season, I don't know if I can do it. That guy's mouth, like it was so gross.
And then sadder than that,
Audrina's like, I would rate that kiss a 2. Oh my God.
I like several comments here. One, let's be honest. He looks like a 60-something-year-old man who just got out of a long marriage and is dating women half his age, like Audrina. He is not 40. I refuse to believe such a thing. Rod Stewart had a child at 20, and this is Sean Stewart. Number two.
Just want to quickly interject that he doesn't even look like he used to, which is fine. You know, we get older. But I mean, like, it looks like you were saying, whatever he's had done makes him look older, because I truly did not recognize him until I Googled him and saw a photo of him from, I don't even know, like 6 or 8 years ago with Adrian Malouf. I totally forgot. He was Adrian Malouf's boy toy, according to like the Daily Mail or whatever, for for a few years. And he looks drastically different. Like, the bad fake tan is still there. And also the bad fashion, like the Von Dutch jeans and then sort of like the starchy white button down with like the first 5 buttons undone. Like, you're not your dad. Relax.
No, if he had waited 5 years, he would have hit the vintage mark. Because at the way, like at this rate, when with fashion cycling the way it is, it's going to be in style 5 years from now. The Gen Zers are going to wear it.
Please don't say this. No,
but
stop.
I know. I manifested some evil shit just now. But I gotta say, the suit this man wears while Audrina, I mean, breakup is a loose term here because Audrina can't even finish a sentence because she's too nice. When he is told that they are not going to really work out, he is wearing a suit that I wrote screams lawyer who advertises on a park bench, and facial hair that reminded me of like a Boston Southie boxing coach a little bit, you know, like, come on, Tommy, you got this. Like,
stop. What? That is such a fucking deep cut, and accurate deep cut at that. Wow. Yeah, he could be one of the siblings from The Wrestler if he really wanted to.
Really?
Or not The Wrestler. That Mark Wahlberg, the fighter.
There's so many boxing movies. So much so that, what's her face? Heidi on SNL, I'm forgetting her last name, Heidi Gardner, I believe. She even did a character on Weekend Update who was the wife or girlfriend of a boxer in like a blue collar boxer movie. She's like, I'm going to my sister's, like, because that's always happening in a movie where like there's a struggling boxer with a wife slash girlfriend.
I immediately pictured Amy Adams.
Yes, exactly.
But he did dress like a clown. And the fact that she even has to, like, again, loosely use this term, break up with him after like 2.5 dates, and he like crashed her vacation that she didn't really want him to be on.
No.
It was very nice, and it was really funny to watch Heidi and Spencer play like genuinely nice matchmaker. Like, I think they had the best intentions.
Totally. But,
I mean, the chemistry was, I mean, even when she was like, oh, we could be friends. I'm like, even friends, like, do you, are you, you don't have to give him that. Like, you don't owe this man shit.
No, you don't. You don't owe this man shit. And I have to say, during that scene in which he was expressing his feelings for her, Audrina has never ceiling-eyed more in her life. I just, the eyes that she gave him, I was amazed. Like, I didn't think this woman could ceiling-eye more than she already does. And yet, she broke a record. So, kudos to you, Audrina. In terms of other people on the show that we should point out, Brody's not-girlfriend, Amber, who... I for a second I was like, I can't be bothered to look up her name, but luckily in episode 5 they mentioned her name again, so I was like, thank God. We find out she's 24 because, like, that's Brody's MO, but she is one of those people who got the bachelor face or the Instagram face works package at the plastic surgeon a little too early, and now looks probably Brody's age, to be honest, if not older, if Brody hadn't sold his soul to the devil to look as young as he does for
any
good for his age.
Brody still looks hot, as much as it pains me to give this man any sort of props, like, at all. But I will say, just like Sean, the second Amber exited the picture, I was like, I don't, who? Like, it took me a full minute to remember. And what I find the funniest, though, was that Brody was berating a 24-year-old for drinking, which, like, LOL, like, what the fuck were you even doing at 24? Yeah. Him and Spencer talk about, like, these terrifying tales of them, like, lighting a table on fire at Tower or some shit in, like, the most recent episode. So,
oh my God. Sir,
you have zero legs, okay? Zero legs to stand on. But I just find it to be very rich that he gives her this really fucking hard time about drinking too much and whatever, and it's like, instead of, you know, shaming her, you should have just, I don't know, chosen a different route. But regardless, he's already back to drinking.
Yeah,
so I just find him to be annoying, and despite myself, I really want him and Audrina to work out, and I want it to not be some, like, fake ass shit for the show. But
I know,
who knows, right? It probably is, but I would love if it wasn't, because once you see it, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. She's not that complicated, and that's all he truly wants. Is
exactly.
Just someone, and she already has a kid, and that way it sort of, like, takes the pressure off of him.
It's
easy. I feel like it makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. And honestly, I think that Audrina is going to be someone who's going to keep him in check because she's done the partying and everything. She's over that.
But she can... She's a responsible drinker.
She can still drink.
Totally. And that's what he needs. He doesn't need somebody that's fully sober, but he also doesn't need somebody who's literally 24. And, like, what do you do when you're 24 and you have a bunch of spare cash because you're, like, working for the first time in your life? Like, you're going to go out.
You're going to go out.
And you're going to do shots with Heidi. And, like, who wouldn't want to, like, get drunk with Heidi? She's a cartoon character. And I mean that like in as nice a way as possible. Like, she's
entertaining.
Just,
she's a treat.
Larger than life.
Who works out in full makeup and films their entire workout on Instagram? Good God.
Who wears a bra as a top, not once, but twice out in public?
Twice.
And, like, if you want to wear a bra as a top, I support you, but just make it look like it goes together. There are tons of lingerie-looking outside clothes you can wear, but
hers
looks like she literally forgot to put a shirt on.
That's
I'm all for her getting the gals out. Her boobs look great, but I just want you to put them in a better vehicle, like put a fucking sports bra on or I don't know, but it looks too much like Heidi was like, okay, bye, Spencer, because it's also within the realm of possibility that she would forget her shirt leaving her house.
Completely. You mentioned earlier the meal with Spencer and Brody where they were talking about their, you know, glory days or whatever you want to call it. But I had to note some things about Spencer's ordering of his.
Oh, thank God you took notes. Oh, thank God.
He wrote
I was
on the entire
horrified.
Order. The entire order. Let's.
Hold on. I want to know over under. Were there more hashtags on Tyrese's Fast Family post that you read in, like, episode, I don't even know what, like, a long time ago? Did Spencer order more individual dishes? I mean, he just kept going. It sort of reminded me of Eva when she was on Real Housewives of Atlanta when she was pregnant.
Oh, yes, Eva Marcille, yeah.
Yeah, she ordered, like, the entire menu, and, like, the shady editors at Bravo, bless them, kept, like, a counter on the bottom of how much, what she had ordered, what it was called, and how much it was, and then give you a grand total. total and like told you how many plates it was, and it was like 13 or something. It was insane.
I wish someone at MTV would get, you know, take the Bravo edit and start going with that a little bit, because I feel like The Hills needs a little bit of that.
It just needs a little judge, right?
A little judge to like acknowledge how ridiculous it is.
I appreciate how it still kind of looks the same in a lot of ways. Like, I do like the way it looks. Like, it's one of the most expensive looking reality shows, you know? But I could do a little less without like, oh, here's this song by like Kygo or whatever, and like here's all the busy shit that happens on the bottom, and maybe have a little bit more fun in like the editing. Like, I know that there's a blueprint for it, but can't we get like some Vanderpump editors in here or something? Like, I just need a little more pop. It just feels something about it that always feels a little bit sedate, or at least this version of it.
100%. So to answer your earlier question, I would say they're just about even.
Okay, let's hear his order, because it's truly unhinged.
Mr. Spencer Pratt, man who earlier this episode talked about getting healthier, going from having 3 burritos a day to it would be great to get down to 1 burrito a day, which I feel you, Spencer, but grown man eating 3. Anyway, going into this order that he made at this restaurant, he ordered steak fajitas, 2 hard shell chicken tacos, 2 hard shell beef tacos, and 1 chicken and cheese enchilada at a lunch, either a very early dinner or a lunch. And I'm going to go with lunch. Meanwhile, Brody, Mr. I think I can manage my drinking after 6 months of sobriety, orders a double shot of tequila in broad daylight.
They both do, though.
They do. They do. I saw Spencer started with the mark and then went into the double shot.
Yeah, if anything, Spencer is much worse. And then, I mean, I'm not – this is just more like a comment about Spencer's comment. But he later then tells Kristen Cavallari that he's pushing 212. And I was like, yeah, because you order – a lot at lunch, and that's fine.
Yes.
But we all don't act like you don't know why it happened or how it happened.
Exactly. Yes. All of that. I do appreciate Spencer continuing Stan Brand throughout this episode with his Pratt Daddy tie-dye wear and giant crystal necklaces. Tie-dye, I feel like it's just the motif in the Pratt Montag household. I will also note the dream catchers.
I was going to say, we got to talk about how we paused on their bedroom almost immediately.
Immediately.
Because we had to do dream catcher count. In addition to just taking in the decor, because in addition to the numerous dream catchers, there's also a giant silver cross.
Oh my
and
God.
Then all these photos of Heidi and Spencer while Heidi's pregnant with their baby and all this other stuff, but in like a bunch of mismatched rando frames that don't go with anything. And look, it's fine if me, a regular person, has a bunch of mismatched frames. I'm not on TV. So no. it just doesn't make the whole room, like, you gotta just, you have to pause it and then to take it in, and you just gotta let it wash over you, because it's a lot. It's a lot going on, much like the Pratts in general. I mean, their pours of wine alone. Sorry, that's a separate topic. Let's go back to Dreamcatcher count 2021.
I believe we got it at 6. When I was trying to verify again when we were watching, I was watching episodes 5 and 6 because they showed the bedroom at one point when Spencer was performing a fertility ritual on Heidi on the bed with the crystals.
With the crystals?
To try to get her pregnant.
He was basically just waving crystals over her and be like, think pregnant thoughts, think pregnant thoughts. It was, again, a performance art unlike anything you've ever seen. But I think it is 6, because if we remember correctly, there are his and her dream catchers like on either side of their headboard. Then that giant dream catcher that made us literally scream.
And then the headboard in the middle.
And it just drapes down. It's huge, too. You're like, what is going on in this house? And then
how
you notice.
Sleep at night, literally.
How do you not wake up just covered in dream catchers? And then you caught the one that was on the lampshade bedside table.
Yes.
Maybe there was one more, because we're at 5, but I can't think of it. Maybe
believe
the dream...
they both had them. So they both had them on their respective lamp. Hims and hers, 1, 2 on each corner of the bed.
Oh, and then one in the middle. And then one on each lamp on each side. Okay,
yes,
got you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because I was like, oh, was it hanging off of the cross? Like,
good God. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. I think my favorite parts of this whole show have been around the time spent at Spencer and Heidi's home because,
of course,
they're the dream catchers, fertility ceremony. The time that they're trying to play chess was also a lot of fun to watch with that very full glass of wine.
I'm sorry. You have to put that in quotes because tried to play, they barely like unpacked the chess thing before they're like, fuck this, and like walked away.
They need to basically, I think instead of having another child, they need to adopt a chess prodigy like in Queen's Gambit, and it's going to work out very well for them.
Or like in Arrested Development. And I know, obviously, Gunnar, their son, is, you know, Spencer's child. But I am still struck by the fact by how much he looks like an itty-bitty Spencer. It's very unsettling every
time.
Very
unsettling.
Like, it's just, every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, oh, God, what are you going to say? And it's like very sweet, like little kid talk. I'm like, oh, it's not your fault that you look like your dad. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Another highlight that I want to bring up is our friend Brandon Lee, son of our Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson, who we talked about a few episodes ago, who is displaying what is probably one of the healthier relationships on this show, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, did you notice that he's like barely in the last two episodes? You're like, yeah, you're boring. Bye.
You're boring. You have a good relationship. Great. You're not going to be shown. You're going to be Whitney next season. You're going to show up for a lunch.
He's going to be a friend of. Yeah. Exactly. And his girlfriend seems perfectly nice and also to not have
nice,
any interest.
Normal.
She doesn't have any interest in being on the show. So I feel like, friend of is probably in his future. And I say that as somebody that thinks that's for the best for all involved.
For all involved. I think Brandon Lee ultimately deserves a normal life considering what he has been through with his parents. I will say that it's funny that we found out his love language is acts of writing EDM songs and playing them on Jambox speakers while on a hike/picnic.
At the edge of a fucking cliff. It looked dangerous. He seems very sweet.
Oh, yes.
He's super cute.
Adorable.
They look like a sweet couple. But yeah, they tried to like build up drama. Remember when he missed that phone call? And I was like, okay, everyone, this is not a storyline. No.
I thought I missed something, but like The Hills, it's not hard. It's hard to not miss. It's hard to miss something because they repeat everything every 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. They're worse than 90 Day Fiancé. They recap the recap constantly. And you're like, okay, this is a snake eating its own tail. But yeah, remember when I said we should rewind it? I think I missed something. And you and Sean cried, no. And I did it anyway.
I'm wheezing.
And guess what? We discovered then that we, in fact, did not miss anything, and you were both correct. But yeah, there was a lot of confusion, but they were like, we got to do something with Brandon. They're like, ah, shit, never mind. It's not that important.
I have two other things that come to mind. One, we got to talk about this gender reveal party with the blow-up baby costume.
Oh, my God.
Flares.
Well, here's the way to tie it to Brandon, because somebody like leans over to Brandon. They're like, that's Heidi. He's like, really? And they're like, no.
That's sweet, dumb boy.
It was just really funny. He's like, oh my God, really? Like, no, idiot. I'm joking. I think it was Frankie. It really made
probably
me laugh.
Was.
That gender reveal sobriety part, leave it to The Hills. Like, I mean, if you think that the Real Housewives have convoluted parties, let me introduce you to sobriety party / secret gender reveal surprise party. Well, also pregnancy announcement plus gender reveal surprise party.
My God, I just saw the flares, the baby costume, whatever you want to call it. It's like basically same thing as those T-Rex costumes people wear running around. The poor child Delilah is having nightmares. Like they barely show her because this child has been traumatized. She has been traumatized. When she thinks of her little brother, that's all she'll think of is just creepy baby costume running around with flares, ready to start a forest fire at any point.
I too would be traumatized by an inflatable baby trying to dab to tell me that I'm going to have a little brother. You know what I mean? I don't know who planned that. I guess allegedly Audrina, since this was her party. But I don't know, man. Whatever happened to like cutting a cake or something? I just feel like that was a lot.
It was so much. I just reminded me why I don't like gender reveal parties. Just another thing.
Have
to
you
add.
Ever been to one?
I think I've been to one like virtual one before, which is better. Like I, you know, but ultimately like the gender reveal, it's so funny. Like I remember I've watched, seen so many of those like Twitter threads where people like, and now a hyper like sexualized version of gender reveal parties where like people in the South are like, is she going to grow a garden or is he going to own a gun? Like, it's just the stupidest shit ever. My God.
Yikes.
Yeah. Luckily, my friends haven't done too much of that. It's, you know, maybe a Facebook post here and there. But yeah, oof. Every time I see something with like flames or smoke for a gender reveal party, I'm like, yeah, this is how fires happen. So thank you.
Well, nothing was more terrifying than that baby, though. The smoke just added another layer to it.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, why you had that pool there? You couldn't have like some sort of pool reveal? I don't know.
I don't know.
I felt like there had to be a better way. Just like I thought there had to be a better way for like Ashley, Jason's wife, who is sort of like the most left field character. But I applaud her commitment to being messy and trying to make this show more interesting. So her beef with Heidi over Heidi being too drunk in San Diego, like, okay, I know it sounds judgy, but Heidi was, you know, drinking a lot was acting wild. And she did start a fight with Brody that she then later had to apologize for. So her acting incensed over this whole thing is kind of funny to me. But again, I applaud everybody's effort trying to get something going on this show. But it is one of those things where even when they sit down to like hash it out, I guess that was kind of the funniest part, was Heidi just basically being like, let's just like never talk about it. Like, just don't say anything about me ever again.
Yeah.
That's not how you work through a problem.
That is not how you work through things. The other thing I want to point out, Justin Bobby's origin story that like,
oh my God, I'm so glad we can talk about this. So he was in a gay, like, I mean, it does, for all intents and purposes, does sound very sad and quite traumatic. Like when they show up to his childhood townhouse or whatever, and he's like, that's where I got shot. I was like, come again?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then the fact that he was in a gang called, okay, KAK, which I'm glad they pronounced with some definition, because like otherwise it could have sounded like something very different. Crazy ass kids, I believe. And
yes,
he kept
They are a infamous gang from then. I don't know if they are still around, but I remember that they were prominent in the 90s. So when he said that, my ears perked up. I was like, you were what? When? Yeah, I was very, I mean, he is a dude who obviously doesn't share anything at all, right? So to hear him just kind of say it, it just was sort of like, it kind of, I don't know. I was sort of like, oh, Justin Bobby is interesting.
It's
not because he was in a gang, but like because he's opening up. So he's just not this like, oh, like I'm just a nomad doing that nomad thing. Like you can't tie me down. Like I'm Johnny Depp's cousin and one day I will return to the earth as like a silver bracelet. Like he has more depth. But unfortunately, the persona that he chose for himself on the show, I don't know, kind of like you get it after a while. And he's just kind of kept it up for so long that I didn't really think there was anything left to him. And then getting to know him this last episode was the most interesting thing that's happened so far.
Truly. I mean, it was one of those things where it was not what I was expecting, one, but two, really felt weird about him using the word gangbang as a verb over and over again during this scene and just being like, I get it can mean other things, but could you have gone with another word in this situation? Probably.
Yeah, it's not great, but, you know, it's what we got. So what I didn't think was also great was him barging in on this poor fucking family maskless, trying to, like, take a little tour of memories. It was sort of a lot. And Jason being there, the two of them sort of being unlikely friends, I think it's cute, but also I don't really buy their chemistry. I mean, it's fine enough or whatever, but Jason trying to sell this whole thing about, oh, yeah, we're bros now. We've known each other 15 years. He brings that up a lot. I'm like, yeah, you can know someone for 15 years and not really know them. It's called an acquaintance or a coworker, which he's both.
Yes.
But I do have to agree with Spencer. I don't agree with Spencer in the sense that I don't think that Jason's not sober, but I do believe that Jason comes across a little bit as fake, at least on this show, probably because he's very aware of consequences because he's been on reality TV for a long time. He's by and large had a bad time on reality TV. So maybe he just feels more aware than fake, but like I understand some of Spencer's complaint with him.
Yes.
Because Spencer has always been sort of like out here, but on the other side, it's like Spencer only cares about Spencer and Heidi. So, you know, don't take everything he says too seriously.
Truly. That's, you know, I think at this point, like after these couple of episodes, I feel like we've talked through a lot today. Before we really end it for all intents and purposes, you know, I think there are a couple more episodes left in this season. Do you have any parting thoughts around this season recap?
I liked Kristen coming back in the last episode.
Me too.
That even though I don't think she can hold a show on her own, like very cavalry, I do like her on the hills. I loved sort of like the high school reunion aspect of everybody meeting back up in the bar. And I do agree. Kristen looks great, even though I think that she's maybe not such a great person, but she is a great reality TV person. And so I'm happy to see her doing that. I do like that everybody's being really nice and not asking her about how like nasty her divorce is getting with Jay Cutler, but whatever. The Airbnb that she was staying at looked I think they wanted us to think that it was her house, but it looked too empty for that to be conceivably true. And lastly, I really desperately want this Brody Audrina thing to be real and to happen. And I think going forward, if they're going to keep with this show, I think we know who needs to get cut. Like, we didn't need to bring Caitlin back. Like, we barely even mentioned her. And like, kind of, I feel like, especially now that we know that she's pregnant and like had moved on to and was like in a different relationship while this was shooting, kind of makes some of like the Brody stuff seem a little forced. Like him bringing that Amber girl down to San Diego, like she was justifiably mad about that. And I get that. But on the coming up or whatever, her getting mad about Brody and Audrina getting together, it's like, okay, I don't want to hear this twice. Like, this isn't interesting to me. And then we even mentioned Pizza Girl, who I didn't even know I knew until she started talking about her Pizza Girl sauce, because someone had called into Who Weekly back when The Hills was premiering, and they're like, who's Caroline DeMore or whatever? And apparently she's some heir to like some pizza, I don't know, fortune or something. And so she's trying to make her own marinara sauce called Pizza Girl, not pizza sauce, but you can obviously use marinara on pizza, but whatever. So I did know who she was, but I don't know why she's here. It's sort of like, I don't know, they haven't given her very much screen time, so I don't really understand what's happening there. And Frankie's super nice or whatever, and I like his wife, but also doesn't need to be here and definitely does not need to be in the opening credits. No offense, Frankie.
No.
But you got to bring something other than like.
He's done nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a single interview. Nothing. Single person.
Well, like, what are we doing? And I think those credits are from last season or whatever. So I think they got a clean house. I think that there are definitely people that don't need to be there or don't need to be there full time at all. Like, we can do these little reunions when Kristen comes to town. And I think that's very fun and sweet. But I think mostly the drama is like around Heidi Spencer, Ashley Jason, and Brody and Audrina. And then you bring in Kristen to like stir up shit. But I think beyond that, like, what else do we need?
No, I agree. At this point, these outlying characters I call them characters.
They are characters.
They are characters. But they don't bring much character to the show, if you know what I mean. So
definitely.
Ultimately, I hope MTV, if they continue with this show, which part of me, yes, is okay with that. Part of me is like, oh my God, I don't know if I can deal with
right. Like, what are we doing here? Because I don't, what are we doing here without LC? I mean, not like she would ever come back, nor would I even really want her to, but I don't know.
Kristen full time if you can. I want that like new divorcee even if she was, energy.
Like, yeah. Yes. Even if she was doing, like Audrina had talked about going to Nashville. So like, even if they did some sort of back and forth thing, like, yes, I would really
think
that would help round up the show. And they
I agree.
Like we had mentioned, like an Avril or like another person, maybe not as famous as Avril, also not as famous as Misha Barton, but like some sort of like child, not child star, but like some, I don't know, old Hollywood type person who was maybe like around during the party times. And I'm sure Brody knows a ton of people that would make more organic sense than, you know, Caitlin or Caroline or
whatever.
I don't even know any of these other ancillary characters. So
100%. Well, I think we've just about covered it for today.
Oh, yeah. I think we could come back and do a Bachelorette recap at some point and then also the end of The Hills.
Yes.
Because I don't know if we need – I mean, it's, like you said, there are only a couple more episodes, so I don't know if we need to dedicate a whole mini to it.
No. We could just do a reality checkup as we do every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today for one of our mini episodes. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button. And if there's an option to leave a rating or review, leave us a rating or review. We love hearing from you all. Additionally, you can find us on social media. We are at The Old Millennials Pod on Facebook and Instagram. And individually, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Emily A. Beijin.
And I'm at Margs, she wrote.
And until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.